The Go for Growth Show, powered by Beepo.
All right, hi everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of the Go for Growth Show. My name's Mark Engelman and I'll be your host today. I'm very pleased to have John Knight, the Managing Director of the Business Depot in Brisbane with us today. John, thanks for coming on the show.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no worries. Look, I don't muck around too much. I just want to get straight into things. Can you tell me a little bit about what you do at Business Depot?
Yeah, okay. So my role, I suppose, is Managing Director here at Business Depot. The wider Business Depot organisation, though, is, as the name suggests, we want to be the place to go when you don't know where to go in business. So at the foundational layer of that, we have an accounting advisory consulting practice. And wrapped around that, we have a marketplace of all the other services that you need in business, from HR to offshoring to marketing to legal, all those other services. And that's the whole idea of the concept of Business Depot. Predominant work is still within that accounting advisory consulting space, because that's where the trusted advisor relationship seems to start with. So that's what we do at the depot.
Yeah, fantastic. And one thing that always fascinates me about talking with business owners, John, is, you know, getting an understanding and a feel for where they came from and how they came up with their business idea. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, my wife always reminds me, I first introduced her to the idea of Business Depot on a beach in Positano. And that was probably about 13 years ago now. So that's how long it sort of was sitting there festering. But really, I was a full equity partner within a more traditional accounting practice, a great accounting practice, but it probably just wasn't for me. I was probably just a little bit stuck within the tradition and wanted to really turn that upside down. So really how Business Depot came about was probably from my frustrations, that I could see how much better we could be the trusted advisor, how much more we could do for clients. And so leaving where I was previously, wanted to turn the model upside down, focus first and foremost on what are the problems businesses are having, and be that place to go to find the solutions for those problems.
Yeah, fantastic. So you've kind of taken your accounting experience and then tried to, offer more things in terms of the business advisory aspect
and I suppose
to your customers.
Yeah, and that starts with, you know, what I describe as putting the trusted advisor relationship on steroids. You know, if you are truly their trusted advisor, they're going to want to talk to you about more and more different things. And so if we can be the place to go, if we can be the connector, I suppose, that links them to those other suppliers, those other professionals, those other experts that they need, then they'll trust us even more with whatever their business problems are.
Yeah, great. So this show, it's all about business growth. I'd like you to tell our audience what you think business growth is and what it means to you.
Yeah, I mean, obviously with growth, it's a different thing for every single person that you talk to. You know, what are you trying to grow? You know, so often I get clients come along and they talk about growth and they want growth, but usually they're actually talking about top line. But you know, being a bean counter by trade, you know, I mean, top line's only one thing. I mean, top line's got to turn into profit, and profit has to turn into cash for it to actually make a difference. I always use the saying, especially within the real estate industry, sales are vanity, profits are sanity, and cash is reality. Yeah. And at the end of the day, if that growth doesn't flow through all of that, it has to be strategic in some nature that will enable that to happen in the future. Because, you know, people, when they talk growth, or the way I think of growth, is we're either looking to be better at something or we're either looking to be bigger at something. But you only really want to be bigger if it's going to flow through to that bottom line and flow through to that cash.
Yeah, totally.
You know, if you're bigger, it might just mean you've got bigger opportunities. You know, being bigger, you might have opportunities which will enable you to strategically do more.
Or conversely, bigger headaches, right?
Precisely, and you know, growth can hurt.
Yeah, totally. So what I really love about what you guys do at Business Depot is you've really kind of embraced the whole help versus hype marketing idea. And you know, you've got events like Depot X and Depot Next, which you frequently hold. Can you tell the audience a little bit about those events and what value is that delivering to your customer base?
Yeah, so we've got two core events, and they actually started with our Depot X events. And the X in Depot X comes from X Factor and expertise. So the idea being that we started these events because we wanted to share some of the X factors of other people's businesses and some of the expertise other professionals have. And the idea of that was you see all these different businesses, they've got these great aspirations, but quite often they come against these hurdles, these brick walls, these speed bumps, which are slowing them down or stopping them in their tracks. And so the idea is maybe there's an expert that can share something, share an insight, share a story that will enable you in your business to roll over that speed bump, jump over that hurdle or smash through the brick wall. So that's where they sort of started. We started them in our space, which was really good, especially in the beginning, because it meant people came into our space and they got a feel for who we are and our brand personality. But we then launched Depot Next at the beginning of 2016. And that was where we wanted to do a bigger top of funnel marketing event. And how I described those and why we started those events was we wanted to add a whole new branch to the tree. You know, we'd had great referral contacts, a great community we were already working with, but we really wanted to open it up to a much broader sort of audience. And so the main focus of the events are really around sharing insights, which is really the stories, sharing expertise, creating an opportunity for collaboration is actually quite an important part of why we do the events as well, because it brings together our marketplace members, or we call it the collective members. It brings together our referral partners, our clients, our staff, brings them all together in one place. And if you can get them all together, then that also creates a bit of energy around the brand. And if we can get all those things sort of happening. So what happens for us out of that is, yes, there's positioning. Yes, there's awareness. There's those types of things. But it really creates that opportunity for the community to get us to know us better. You know, whether they're coming into our office or they're coming down to our powerhouse event, they're getting to know us, what we stand for, what we have to say better. And we do get direct work out of every single one of them, some of them more than others. But in our game, we're finding the pipeline of conversion is getting longer and longer. And so I always talk about the marketing washing machine. And so these events work really well for us. If we can continually create these touch points with prospects and the community we work with, then we just have to be there at the right time for that opportunity to present itself for us.
Yeah, great. And so how long have you been holding the events for?
We started them as soon as we moved into our new premises here. So since May 2014, we would have been holding our events. The big ones at the Powerhouse only started last year.
Yeah, great. And did you find it difficult in the early stages to kind of, you know, I've run events, heaps of people have run events. Did you find it difficult in the early stages to get people to come along and you know, participate?
Well, I think the first one we probably had about 40 people or something or other.
Yeah.
And we were pretty happy with that because the room felt sort of full, and then we got to the stage where we were overflowing. You know, we're getting heaps of registrations and so forth to the biggest one where we had 500 people register down the Powerhouse. And so what I think's key there is we wanted to make sure they weren't just another business event. So our focus at the events are what we call entrepreneurial spirits. So they tend to be a bit more active. They don't want to sit still for too long. So both events, we do three speakers, 15 minutes each, short, sharp, and myself or someone else will sort of do a bit of emceeing, a bit of thought leadership in between. And I don't know, we seem to have been able to find a format. We've spiced up the speakers and the topics fairly regularly, and we don't seem to have a problem. We do use a bit of social paid ads and obviously social sharing to get the numbers along, especially to the Depot Next events. And that seems to work quite effectively too.
Yeah, great. So I'm intrigued a little bit, John. You're a bean counter by trade, but often when I talk to you, you sound like a marketer. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, I've never done any marketing training or anything like that. One of my directors here, Jacob, he always says, "Well, John, you know, you're the only one in the room who's created a brand." Yeah. And I'm like, well, I suppose what he means is I've gone out and I've actually sort of had a vision and implemented something about it. look, I still love the numbers of the accounting and the data and what you get out of it. But I love the marketing and the branding sort of side of it as well, just because that's where I think if we can change the experience, you know, even if it's for the accounting experience, if we can change the experience around that, that in my mind is branding and marketing.
Yeah. Cool. And I think, you know, you guys are really sort of innovating that accounting space in that sense, right? There's, you know, the stereotypical accounting firm is kind of starting to fall by the wayside, I think, and more, you know, innovative firms like Business Depot, I think, are starting to take over in that space. Where do you see Business Depot going from here?
Yeah, well, today we're probably best described as an accounting business with a community of other service providers wrapped around it. Where we want that to evolve is we want to turn that around and we want to become a marketplace that you go to for business. It just so happens that one part of the marketplace is the accounting services that we provide. So they're still obviously pretty critical. That's where our money's made. Yeah. But we do in the long term want to start having the Business Depot brand as our marketplace. And we're starting to introduce the sub brands within that. So Business Depot Accounting. We launched a legal practice a little while ago. So that's called Business Depot Legal. And over time, there'll be other sub-brands that fall under the wider brand of Business Depot. So that from a strategic perspective, that's where we want to take the model. Yeah. We want to get that right here in Southeast Queensland first. We already do a lot of work down in Victoria. But we've sort of come to the conclusion we want to get that right before we start duplicating it. And we'll just service other locations remotely in the meantime.
Yeah, fantastic. So we're almost getting to the end of the interview. My second last question for you is, you know, what's your number one growth tip for businesses looking to scale or grow their margins, revenue, and, you know, maybe attract more market share?
Yeah, I suppose the biggest tip that I'd give you there is that growth can kill. Okay, I've seen many a great business idea, many a growing business that can actually die. Because when you grow, it costs money typically. And momentum's pretty important in that whole thing. But one of the things people don't realize is you need to fund that growth. I mean, when you put more people on, it increases your working capital requirements. The more you increase your working capital requirements, you've got to make sure you can fund that. And it's not a sustainable solution, borrowing that from the tax office. And it was something that we saw a lot of after the so-called GFC, I suppose, where people started to get back on the growth curve. But they didn't start to fund it. They didn't start to put the money into the business or realize they had to leave some of that money behind so that they can fund this growth that they're striving for. And, you know, again, you could use the analogy of better or bigger. Mm. You know, I'm the best type of growth, or depending on where you are, but, you know, as in the stage of your life cycle. But often we need to make it better before we do get the bigger machine. Yeah. And I think that's probably a big mistake. And that's probably some of the mistakes that kills many a business, is that they get too quick, too big, too quick, or at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Because time is pretty, pretty important.
Yeah. And I certainly know in my experience that it's so crucial to really get, you know, your service offering right and the back end of your business right in terms of how you service your customers before you start to, I mean, I've heard stories all the time about, you know, people or businesses hiring salespeople to go out and try and bring on more customers when they don't have their product right, and they end up just losing their customers. Staff are unhappy, and it all ends up in a miserable mess.
And so it's hard. Right, it's frustrating. Yeah, it's frustrating. Everyone wants to grow. Everyone wants to get closer to their vision, closer to what they want to achieve. I get frustrated by it myself. You know, we just want to get there. But sometimes you've got to be investing in your systems and your processes, you know, maintaining your machine or improving your machine before you go and feed more through the machine.
Yeah, totally. Makes so much sense. So, John, we're nearing the end of the show today. I've got one last question for you. I just want you to share with our audience any favorite pieces of technology or services that you've been using at Business Depot that's really providing you guys with some, you know, some good leverage.
Look, for me, it's hard to go past just the overall suite of cloud products that are out there now. And, you know, specifically for us, Xero Accounting Suite has enabled us to do so much more with our clients than anything else that we've had. The fact that we can be traveling, we can be working remotely with pretty much all of our data in the cloud. There is no reason why we can't get the work done from anywhere, I suppose. And, you know, it's the little things, it's the little opportunities that presents, you know, not having to transfer data between client site and our site, you know, it means you've got less risk around that. You know, the fact that we can just jump into someone's client file and make the change for them means we've removed some of their headaches and we've, you know, hopefully, you know, improved their data, which means hopefully we can be more efficient at the end when we do tax returns or whatever business strategy advice we can provide. It means the real-time data, the single point of truth, that just creates a whole layer of efficiency, which frees up time so we can focus on better services.
Fantastic. Fantastic. All right, John. Well, look, thank you for your time today. It's been great having a chat.
As always, Mark.
As always, yeah. I'll talk to you soon.
Great. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, John. Talk to you soon.
The Go for Growth Show, powered by Beepo.